These things are kind of cool. I've got a lot of microphones that I've had in my life, but never one of these. Everybody hear me okay? I'm going to get one of these for home. I'll pay for that later. We're going to study, we're going to study about the 10 foolish and wise bridesmaids. So if you want to read along, go to Matthew 25. We're going to start at verse 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came along. "Sir, sir," they cried, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." We're in probably the last part, we're definitely in the last part of the two probably greatest sermons Jesus ever had in the Bible. The first is the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 and 7. And this one is the Olivet Discourse, chapters 24 and 25. If you don't ever read anything Bible, you want to know what Jesus said. That's all you have to do. It's an incredible gift of words and understanding in the Sermon on the Mount and the Olivet Discourse. Jesus was an incredibly great teacher. He often taught in parables that we humans can relate to. He talked about fig farmers, talked about grape growers, talked about wheat workers. One topic, at least 4 times, was about the excitement, the joy, the beauty, and the sacredness of marriage. Now, in the time of Christ, a Jewish wedding was often a week long. It began with the groom going to the bride's house with a procession, including the bridesmaids. They would carry lamps and oil to provide light along the way when the evening came and the celebration continued. By the way, the foolish bridesmaids, the Bible refers to as a fool, is one with spiritual or moral deficiencies, not intellectual deficiencies. Proverbs 14:24 says, "The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the foolishness of fools yields folly." Also, folly in the dictionary means a lack of sense, lack of understanding, a lack of unawareness. The door for each of the 5 unprepared bridesmaids was shut, locked, unable to enter. Permanent, no oil, a dry lamp. Keep in mind, to have a lamp and oil was the individual decision of each bridesmaid. It is a personal decision to have oil or not to have oil. John MacArthur makes a couple of interesting points. He says the foresight of the wise cannot benefit the foolish. The foresight of the wise cannot benefit the foolish. And 2, preparedness can neither be transferred or shared. No one else can give their oil to you. Now I have a task for each of you when you get home. Before lunch, before your nap, or if you're like me, I go to Rare Air for my weekly workout. Here's what I want you to do. Take the most famous psalm known to man, Psalm 23. And I want you to count how many personal pronouns there are in that one psalm, just in six verses. You'll be amazed at that. Now, I've already talked to Mark about this. Next week, if you give the correct answer to Mark, he will virtually give you a $5 bill. Listen to the intense cries of the five bridesmen. Sir, sir, open the door. As with the rich man, the great chasm was fixed. That incredibly awful, desperate, debilitating, sickening feeling in the pit of the stomach. Now that's child's play compared to the everlasting torment he will experience for eternity. That ship has sailed. Remember the reading about the rich man, the emotion he felt for his brothers? He was reminded that the brothers had the law and the prophets. The brothers needed to study the law and the prophets. The parable cries out, prepare yourself. It's a personal decision. Know God's words. God's words are beautiful. They're liquid gold. They're comfort to your heart and to your well-being. Study them. Understand what they're telling you. Here's a guy in hell who understands the importance of God's word, the soothing effect that it has. And it's interesting. I don't know if any of you have ever studied the word and then you said, oh, yeah, that's what it means. It happens all the time when you go back and forth and you'll find, hey, I get it now. The Law and the Prophets, that's God's Word, the Bible. Jerry Boyle pointed that out recently. God's words, He speaks to us and with us. It's oil for your heart. We need to study and understand God's words. When reading a verse, ask yourself, what does it mean? Listen to each part of the following scripture. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the attitudes of the heart. Well, let's break it down a minute. It's living. What does that mean? It's present tense. It lives today exactly as it did thousands of years ago. It's God's breath. Every day is today. It's active. Well, what does that mean? It's not dead, not stale, or it's not inert. It's a burning bush that is never quenched. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. What does that mean? It's sharper than anything ever made by man. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. What does that mean? It pierces deeply. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It has the ability to convict me and bring me to confession, repentance, and forgiveness. God's word is fruitful. It's impactful. It's a light bulb to your mind. And then you can see the light of the world. Our goal is to be prepared right now to avoid the tragedy of a missed opportunity. I remember talking with a friend when I started dating, Miss Babe, who lived up north somewhere in the sticks. He said, "I hope she loves the Lord more than you." And I have to admit, for a few seconds, I was a little, taken back. But that's exactly how the enemy works. He looks for your vulnerable spots, especially when we are only thinking of ourselves. And that's precisely what we do most all the time. Folks, I have to tell you, all sin has its generation in our own selfish desires. So then I came to my senses. I said, "Carl, you dope. She's going to be a Proverbs 31 woman. And she and I, with a happy marriage, are going to be an Ephesians 5. Think of that triangle with God at the top. Man and wife side by side at the base, looking up to our Savior. That's what makes a spectacular marriage. Matthew 22:37, love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He wants our heart, each one of us, each soul at a time. Listen to the promises of God. Luke 11:10, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Now, some of you may think, I've sinned so much, there's no hope for me. Well, remember, David, the adulterer and murderer, yet God described him as a man after my own heart. Paul, the persecutor of God's own people and an accomplice to murder. He was the world's greatest missionary, and he authored 13 books of the Bible. Isn't that cool? Think of the thief on the cross. He died seconds or minutes after he claimed his trust in Jesus Christ. With confession and repentance, no one can out-sin God's grace and mercy. Our God can do anything. It takes more than fig leaves to cover our sin. He shed his blood on the cross for you. He's got you covered. And this promise, this is a great promise. Take it in, folks. Romans 5:20. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Remember, you can't out-sin God's grace. He declares you not guilty. Christ takes away the old fingerprint evidence. He gives you a brand new DNA. Prepare yourself for the greatest feast ever. Make sure your oil tank is full. Robert Kaiser's oil tank was overflowing. And we're going to celebrate that later. So I want you all to bet your life on it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, for the beauty of your word, for the truth of your word, for the faithfulness of your word, for the comfort of your word. I pray that each and every one of us will study over it more and more every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark, you're coming up for sharing.